the following was at the Black Rock meeting, the first Sunday in December 1978.
Thank you. 62, the first hymn on the page, it's First July.
Night falls the eve of thankful praise. To tune the stammering stone, twist in your hearts, and voice is raised.
Hey, you can get it if you want to.
Hey, you can get it. Well, get something you can.
How about page 37?
Okay, there, page 37.
What'd you say?
Page 37. 37. Well, wait a minute, I'll tell you.
There is a fountain filled.
There is a fountain filled with blood.
Yeah.
Little time.
turns to page 107. The first one on the page. Father, whate'er of earthly bliss thy sovereign will denies, accepted at thy throne of grace, let this petition rise. Give me a calm and thankful heart from every murmur free. The blessings of thy grace impart, and make me live in thee. Let the sweet hope that thou art mine, my life and death attend. Thy presence through all through my journey shine, and crown my journey's end. Let us stand and sing that. Page 107. Sense of the word while they live here in this world. I have sometimes thought, and have for a day or two maybe, about the Bible, what it means, and where it came from, what it means to the Lord's people. We are made to believe that every word in the Bible came from heaven, and that it was the will of the Father before the world began. He would choose his servants for throughout the ages until the coming of Jesus Christ. And the wonderful things that are made manifest to us in the last book of the Bible. And it's so wonderful that our Father has looked upon us with pity and with compassion. I feel that each one of you, each one of us, that have felt the quickening hand of the Father in our lives, that we believe every word that is printed here. Because it was not up just left to Moses, or the prophets, or the psalmists, the writer of the psalm, not left to them just haphazardly to do these things, to write these things. But each one of them were chosen by God the Father I feel to say also, before the war began, because everything that was made manifest and is yet being made manifest among the Lord's people and in this world, they were so fixed in the eternal will and the purpose of our God that everything is on scheduled time. There's nothing, no time lost, no time gained, but everything is on scheduled time just exactly as the Father, our Heavenly Father, yes, our Heavenly Father, determined before the world began. So that there's nothing superfluous in this book. There's nothing lacking in it. But everything is there exactly as it was the Father's will to make it known unto his people while they live in this world. Have you ever wondered what would be our condition as we live in this life if the Lord had not chosen his servants in days of old to write as he moved them, which he did? They wrote exactly. Now, I feel certain and sure and perfectly willing to say that the Father did not tell them to write without telling them what to write, because every bit of it was according to the eternal will and the purpose of our God. Now, have you thought about it, my friends, what condition we would be in here in this world if the Father hadn't caused his servants of old to write as he moved them, so that we know without a question at all that the Father was the creator of the heavens and everything else? Now, the scripture says that. The Lord's people believe that. But they not only have they got that in written in the book and afterwards in the hearts of each one of his people, because I believe that the main things in the scriptures that the Lord enabled his servants of old to write, he also sends forth his spirit in the hearts of his people, so that when they read what these Moses and the prophets and the others say, they know that that's the truth. There's no question about it. There's no question in their hearts but what that is the truth. Because the same spirit, the same power that enabled, as they're called, holy men of old to write as God moved them, that same power speaks always in the hearts of every one of those that the Father had chosen before the world began. So that when we are brought to experience some of these wonderful and glorious things, we know that it is true. Because we not only read it in the book, but it is revealed in the hearts of all the Lord's people. And I feel certain and sure that all the Lord's people believe that this book is the work of God. And that it is, then this is the only way that we know from who made the earth, from whence it came, and who set in motion all the things that we have experienced. And I do believe that every one of those that were called out of darkness into the marvelous light of the Son of God, those that God the Father chose in his Son Jesus Christ before the world began, that he also sent it into every one of their hearts, and with such force and such power that however ridiculous it may seem to some people, and yet the Lord reveals it in the hearts of those that he has chosen in Jesus before the world began, and they believe. They believe. Now, no doubt we have special portions of scriptures that we seem to think more of than others, but I know I have one or two, or maybe more, that it seems to me like that are special to me. And one of those scriptures is, in hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before the world began. Maybe you haven't been exercised very much in that, but how about the 23rd Psalm? Have you been exercised in that? How about many others that from time to time the Lord, the Spirit of our God, opens up to our understanding? But if he had not opened it up, if the Lord hadn't given his servants of old to write and leave upon record for us, we wouldn't know where the world came from. We might guess at it, but we wouldn't know where it came from. We wouldn't know anything at all about these wonderful and glorious things. It would all, in my feeling, be guesswork. But when the Father takes the same Spirit that enables his servants to write here, that opens up, reveals in our hearts, then we say, amen. We know it's the truth. Now, let us look to him in a word of prayer. Our Father, if we know our poor hearts, we give thee thanks for the multitude of thy blessings that thou hast bestowed upon thy people in this time world. Thou hast, O Lord, so loved thy people that thou hast revealed, not only in thy written word, but in their hearts, what thou hast done for thy people here before the world began, and hast carried it out totally every day that this world has been here. And thou wilt preserve all the things that it is thy will to have revealed to thy people in this world, and it will be for them as long as this life in this world stands. What a gracious God thou art. We know, Lord, that thou hast done great things for us, whereof we're glad. Thou hast spoken in our hearts. Thou hast given us thankful hearts unto thee for thy mercies and for the revelations of those things that thou wouldst have us to know. Lord, we thank thee that thou hast put it in the hearts and the minds of these who are assembled here this day, not only here, but wherever throughout the whole world thy people are gathered together. And wherever we realize, O Lord, that thy people are gathered together in thy name, it matters not where they are, it matters not what people think of them, they believe the things that thou hast written, not only in the book, but in the hearts, so that they rejoice and are exceedingly glad, realizing as they are made to realize what poor, unworthy creatures we are, each one of us, but that the Lord looked down upon us with pity and compassion, and has given us not only by revelation to know that he has quickened us who were dead in trespasses and in sins. And if it had not been for it being written, not only in the word, the written word of God, but also in the hearts of the Lord's people, he quickens us. We could not, there's no other power in all the earth that could quicken, or could even think about quickening the Lord's people saved out of God. And so, Heavenly Father, we give thee thanks that thou hast been so gracious and so merciful and so kind and good to us, that thou hast revealed thy great love to such sinners as we know that we are and undeserving even of thy notice, but to think about, to be aware of the love, the great love that thou hast manifested unto thy people in giving thy dear Son as a sacrifice to redeem them from all their sins and all their iniquities. We thank thee, O Lord, that thou hast so ordered it, that in the hearts of every child that thou hast chosen in Christ before the world began, that Thou dost make them to believe and to know full well that thou art their God, and what thou hast done is done forever. O Lord, thou knowest the trials, the troubles, the sorrows of each one of us here bowed in thy presence. We pray thee for patience, Father, because we know that left in our carnality that we become impatient. Whereas we feel to give thee thanks that we have been given patience to run the race that is set forth in the hearts of each one of us, set forth at the race that we shall run while we're in this world, ever looking unto Jesus, not looking unto men, not even looking unto our brothers and sisters whom thou hast brought out of darkness in this body in this way, but that we are given grace to run the race as is set before us with pity, with looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of all the faith that we have. He is the author of it. So we realize, O Lord, that whatever thou hast revealed to us, that it is and is thy will to reveal it in the hearts of thy people with such power that they are made to believe without a question, a shadow of a doubt. But their God, our God, yet lives and moves, and the things that he determined before the world began, he's still keeping it moving exactly as he determined it, it should. And it should be, O Lord, we are firmly fixed upon this, that thou would never leave us nor forsake us while we live in this world. We thank thee for that hope of eternal life that thou hast implanted in our hearts, yea, so that we are sure that those things that thou hast revealed to us, that thou wilt continue to lead us and guide us in that way, so that we still, in spite of troubles and sorrows and doubts and fears, we're still in hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before the world began. Lord, thou knowest the thoughts of everyone that's bowed here now in thy presence. Thou knowest the troubles, thou knowest the trials, thou knowest all about them. Thou knowest what they need. And we realize full well that thou art the only one that can provide for those things, for them, those things that thou art determined should be theirs. So Father, give us patience to run the race before us, looking to thee as the only true and the living God. Remember each one, Father, that come to thee in the secret of their hearts and in their thoughts and minds. Hear their cry. Though we, each one of us, feel to be too unworthy, that thou shouldst listen to us, and yet we are thine because thou hast loved us. Lord, be with us. Grant us grace each day, and grant us that we might be blessed to thy spirit, to worship thee, to praise, to exalt thy great and holy name. O Lord, we pray thy will be done. We know not what thy will is, but we know it is right and it's good. So Father, may we feel from the very depths of our hearts to realize that what thou doest is right and it is good. We thank thee for that hope, that though we are such vile sinners, yet thou hast provided redemption for us in the person of thy dear Son. Father, in thy name, of all the praise, the honor, and the glory, now and forever, we beg for Jesus' sake. Amen. Yeah. Now, if I really don't have anything very much I feel that I'm concerned about this morning, I would, the Lord willing, I would offer some remarks on the scripture that I read, I believe, in hope of eternal life, as God who cannot lie promised before the world began. I don't know of anything more wonderful when we're enabled to believe and to know full well that God has done for us all the things that is necessary, and he hasn't left it to us at all, because we are poor, unworthy sinners, and God manifests his great love for us sinners by the giving of his dear son, sent him here into the world. Now, if it hadn't been for the Lord so enabling holy men of all, his servants of all, to write these things, how would we know anything about the election of grace? Who could tell us anything about it? If it's left to men on the street corners, they will, when they begin to preach what they believe, no doubt, is the doctrine of God our Savior, the gospel as they feel it is, and yet every last one of them will preach that which is not true, because the Lord has revealed it in his book. Just as sure as we take a portion of scripture and try to fix it so that we have a little bit to do in it, feeling that the Lord has given us something to do in it, some portion of it, then we're wrong. But it is in hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before the world began. This is our God. This is the maker of the heavens and the earth. Yes, the very maker. If the Father had not given us Moses to write as he wrote, God moved him to write, how would we know the origin of man? How would we know what our beginning was? When God, we're told in the scriptures that God formed man of the dust of the earth, how would we have known that if it hadn't said so? We might have made some wild guess about it, as men do, but we wouldn't know. We wouldn't understand. We wouldn't believe. But I could think of this. You wouldn't believe, we couldn't believe that God created the heavens and the earth, and he made man out of the dust of the earth. We couldn't believe that. Except it is also written here in the book, and written in the hearts of those, that the Father sends his Spirit into their hearts, revealing to them, and gives them a wonderful and glorious manifestation that each one of them belonged to him because he loved them. He gave them to his Son, Jesus Christ. Now, my friends and brethren, we know that the Bible is it's a hidden book. Much of it is to me. But the Lord knows there's not a single thing that's in the book, in the Bible, that is not necessary. It is absolutely necessary, because it contains all the things that God is pleased, or has been pleased, to reveal in every age of the world to his people, so that they know that God created the heavens and the earth, and the fullness thereof. Nobody else did it. No man helped him. He didn't need any help. He didn't need any help. So he did it exactly according to his will. Now we find in the Old Testament, in the law and the prophets and those things, we find many things that we and our brethren back in those days are not worthy that God should even look upon us with pity or compassion. As a matter of fact, we're not worthy that he should ever have looked upon us with pity or compassion. But that's what kind of a God he is. A God that loved his people. in spite of their backslidings, in spite of their, in the very face of the Lord speaking to them, they turned away from him. But do you know that God did not give the law as a way or a means whereby that men might believe, that men might believe these things? No, he didn't do that. He gave the law not as a way of learning how to be saved, but he gave the law to show men that they could not save themselves. And therefore he reveals in the wonderful, glorious book everything that he would have us to know. And so, where sin abounded, you remember the scripture, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. And so he gave the writers in the Old Testament to look beyond that many centuries and to see the very things that afterwards were made manifest by the Spirit of God. He caused Moses and those others there to say, "Virgin shall conceive and bring forth a son. Thou shalt call his name Jesus." And all of those things, the virgins to do that. Came to pass exactly as it was that way. Jesus was born, the Son of God. You know, I suppose maybe you've noticed it too. In the last few weeks, or maybe I might put it years, there's a growing tendency everywhere, I might say in every nation, to profess, men professing to be servants of God, to profess that they know how that the Lord was going to save his people. They profess that, and they go to great extent, great works, and we've got to do it. God wants us to do certain things, but we've got to have money. Brethren, our Lord doesn't need money. When he sets these things forth in the hearts of the Lord's people, and I dare say that there's not a single one of the Lord's servants, including all of those that he chose in Christ, that they would say, "If we wait until you give us money to go on before they will go." When the Spirit speaks in the hearts of man, it was such power. I have said, it's never been proved, but I have said this sometimes, that if I felt in my heart, had some evidence, that the Lord called me and sent me to Africa, or to Soviet Union, or wherever it would be, if I felt that the moving the Spirit, I'd gladly go. But I'm not going to volunteer. Because I know if I volunteered, it wouldn't be right. And thousands upon thousands of men today have volunteered to help the Lord. The Lord has his people already numbered. He has his people already fixed, given to his son, and his son has redeemed them. But men are so afraid that there's some of these people here in this world today that are not going to be saved. And they're right, because everyone that the Lord loved, chose in his Son Jesus Christ before the world began, he also has the power, he also sends forth his Spirit into their heart and brings them out of darkness, reveals to them that I have loved you with everlasting love. That's what God does for them. Now, he has never yet sent anybody to go into a foreign land and there to persuade or to beg and do all that they can, promulgate, make great promises unto them if you would just believe. Why, I read some years ago where that some of those people that went over there, they wrote, made tickets to those poor heathen people there, and they gave them tickets and wrote on there for some money, I don't know how much, "This is your ticket to heaven. Just hand it in,
They'll take it. Is that the way the Lord works? Every one of us who have been brought out of darkness and into the marvelous light know that it isn't God or Jesus Christ or man in the Word that are begging us to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. But the truth of it is, my brethren, that the Lord himself sends forth his mighty Spirit in the hearts of every individual, every one of them that he chose in his Son before the world began. He sends forth his Spirit into their hearts, and he brings them to see what hell-deserving sinners they are, brings them to repentance, brings them to beg for mercy. Every one of those that he chose, and he hasn't gone outside of his family yet, and he never will. Now this is hard doctrine. It's sound doctrine, brethren and friends. In hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before the world began. Yes, in hope of it. Hope. I said from here, this place here, I'm pretty sure, that the apostle said, was talking about the hope. He said, which hope we have as the anchor soul, sure and steadfast, and it enters into that within the veil. Have you ever felt, my brethren, the very power of the Spirit of God when he's speaking in your heart, that he's speaking words of truth and soberness? Yes. So that you are enabled by that Spirit to run the race with patience, as said before you. Many trials and troubles, many doubts and fears, many wonderings if I'm mistaken in my hope, whether if I'm mistaken in the fact that I've felt in years past, maybe recently, that the Lord has sent forth his Spirit into our hearts, made us to believe that we're his because he loved us, not because of something we have done. He never has, our God never has wanted the men and women to do something to pay for grace and mercy that he gives. Never has done it. And if he did demand that, there wouldn't a man in this world, a woman in this world, would be able to do those things. It's impossible. So that God, he says, in hope of eternal life, in hope of it. Well, as I started to say, the apostle said, which hope we have is the anchor soul, so and steadfast, and it enters into that within the veil. Yes, that hope that is implanted in your heart doesn't end here with death, doesn't end here in this world, but it enters into that within the veil, as the writer said, whither our forerunners entered for us, made a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. So we have the only true and the living God. And this true and living God is the doer of all things. He was the maker of the heaven and the earth and the fullness thereof. And he gives his people blessings, not because they work for them, not because they deserve them, but he gives them blessings accordingly as he's chosen them in him before the world began. Now, look at that. That's scripture. It's scripture. And so, my brethren, we don't know. That nothing in this book but tells us when, how long it will be before you or I or any of us will go the way of all living. But our God knows, and if he has spoken in your heart, if he brought you out of darkness into the marvelous light of the Son of God, and you've been given the hope, the anchor, the soul, as the apostle called it there, sure and steadfast. You may be perfectly sure that when the time comes that you are taken out of this world, that the Lord, the Spirit, Spirit of the power, goes with you into heaven, or into that wonderful and glorious thing. It says, we shall be conformed to the image of Jesus. Now that's scripture. See, we shall be conformed to his image. Not that we have worked for it, not that we have bought it, not that we have done a lot of things for the Lord, but because he loves his people. I've often wondered how in the world the Lord could love such characters as we are. I don't know, but the Lord loves his people. He loved poor sinners. He loved them with such a love that he gave his only begotten son. Do you suppose that there's the one of us here that has a son that we would be willing voluntarily to give our son, if we had a son, to lay down his life to redeem a single one of the Lord's people? I'm sure, my brethren, I speak from my heart when I say that I'm sure that I could not, unless it were so wonderfully and powerfully revealed to me. I'd say no, because God hasn't required us to do that. But he loved, God loved his people. Who can understand? John said, behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, and we should be called the sons of God. Can you figure out what manner of love it is? I can't. It's too deep, it's too high, it's too holy. But we do know that Jesus came here, being sent here by God the Father, and he knew what the Father's will was. He said he came here to do the Father's will, the will of him that sent me. And this is the will of him that sent me, that of all that the Father had given me, I should lose nothing, but raise it up again at the last day. You see, brethren, sisters, and friends, that all that the Lord has done in his eternal will and purpose, he has carried it out. It is his now carrying it out. So that everything that he determined, predestinated, or had a purpose in coming into the world, it is all coming here, and it's going to accomplish the very things that God determined before the world began. Now, we're a few people, I know. Take us to the whole, we're very few people. We have a few in membership. But my brethren, if the Lord has spoken in your heart, you believe because he's spoken in your heart. And he will be with you. All your trials, all your troubles, he'll give you grace sufficient for all of these things. And if we may get down so low that, as David said, is the Lord clean gone forever? I once was happy when I felt like the Lord was merciful to me, but now he's gone. I can't find him. David got that way. Many of the saints of the Lord got that way in their living. But God never forgot a single one of them. He knows them. He knows them by name. Names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. That's our God. He's a thorough God. He does all things according to his will and purpose. And so, my brethren, I'm glad, I feel glad. I was glad this morning that our two people are desirous and willing to come here, and we should hear something with as the Lord directs us and enables us, something of his grace, something of his mercy, so that his name from our lips, because he enabled us, from our lips, his name is exalted, lifted up above every name that is named. And we give to him, as best we know how, all the praise and the honor and the glory, not trying to keep back a little bit of it for us, because we are what we are by the grace of God alone, not by our works. It just isn't done, my friend, brother. And so, I love this portion of scripture, in hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before the world began. Yes. But is now made manifest, his Son, sending him into the world, which is the part of that scripture a little bit further on. And these are the things, my brethren, that God has done for us. He's done everything that is necessary, everything according to his will, in order to bring these poor, hell-deserving sinners. I don't ask you to pardon me for saying that, because that's what we all are. We don't deserve a bit of the grace and the mercy of our God. And yet he loved us with an everlasting love. And therefore, with loving kindness, he draws us. He brings us to the knowledge of the truth. And so, we sometimes wonder about what tomorrow is going to bring forth. We haven't the slightest idea. We don't know what's going to take place before we get outside of this building. We don't know. But God knows, God has fixed it, God has determined it before the world began, so that all things are working, continuously working, to accomplish the eternal will and the purpose of this our God. And so I'm glad, my brethren, sometimes to be with you. I fear and tremble. I feel so often what a poor excuse that I am to stand before the Lord's people, old, forgetful, and all of these things. And yet, my brethren, I know you feel, as I feel, that God is doing his will in the armies of heaven among the inhabitants of the earth. And he'll never forget a single one of his people, but he keeps them as the apple of his eye. That's our God. So, in hope of eternal life. A lot of people don't want to have anything to do with hope. They don't want that. I want to be sure. I don't want to have to hope about it. Some years ago at a funeral when we were down in Virginia, and I had considerable to say, so I was told afterward, concerning hope. And I love hope. When I'm exercised in my mind and heart, hope of eternal life. And in this service that I had considerable to say about the hope of eternal life. And it was heard people that were walking away from the service to the grave cemetery just a short distance away. Some of them said, well, he had a whole lot to say about that old hope stuff, didn't he? Yeah. Some of these days he's going to come up and listen. So he keeps on believing and trusting in that old hope stuff. Rather than I would rather have that which Paul wrote there in hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before the world began. I'd rather have that than anything else that might be offered to me, because that hope, my friends, is all I have. That hope is all you have. Yes, that's all. You have it because the love of God and the mercy of God has brought you out of the darkness you were in, and you didn't realize you were in darkness. They brought you into the marvelous light. The Son of God gave you hope of eternal life. And that hope, I feel sure and certain, that hope, regardless of how many times we may have doubts and fears and trouble, that is run with patience, the hope, the race that is set before us. Ever looking unto Jesus, where else would we look? Where else could we look? Where else can any help come except from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the Son of God? And so, my brother, he has promised not to leave you, not to forsake you, and I hope that you'll be given mind and spirit to pray unto him and in your prayer. Say, Father, we thank thee for thy mercy and the great blessings. We have no other where else to go, none other can help. And we pray thee to lead us and guide us that we might meet together here. You know, the apostle wrote, forsake not to assemble yourselves together as the manner of some is. And I'm glad. I'm just as glad as I can be. And I think that you, brethren, friends, sisters, are glad to come out here. And that the Lord blesses us to worship him. All the praise and the honor is his. We won't bring it down. May he be with you. have two more copies of the Signs of the Times. That's the two latest copies. And anybody that's interested in them, I'd be glad for you to come up and take them. And if you are not subscribed to the Signs, I'd be glad for you to subscribe.
Page 136.
Turning to page 136, the first hymn on the page. Is that right? Now let us stand and sing that hymn.
Yeah.
how true those sentiments are that he wrote in here. Wonderful, glorious is he, our God and our people, his people. Now let's look to him. Father, we give thee thanks. My dearest brothers, together this morning, we give thee thanks for the exercise in our hearts, the peace and joy that thou hast given us, Jesus, thy Son, to redeem us from all our sins and our iniquities. We pray thy blessings to rest upon each one that's here this morning. Speak in their hearts, O Lord, for thou knowest their doubts and fears and tremblings. Be with us, Lord. Enable us to praise and to adore and exalt thy great and holy name. Enable us, Father, to worship thee in spirit and in truth, so that thy name shall have all the praise, the honor, the power, both now and evermore, if they could, Jesus' sake. Amen.